The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Are you the one who is about to come, or shall we look for another? John the Baptist, second to Mary, is a key figure in Advent. He's a powerful figure, a man of austerity, a man powerful preaching in the desert. And yet, in today's gospel, he's beset by darkness and doubt. Thrown in prison because he dare stand up to King Herod. And like many of us, when darkness or bad news come to us, we begin to doubt. Am I really following God's will? Jeez, is there more to life than this? And so John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus and say, Hey, I'm putting my life on the line here. Are you the one, or shall I look for someone else? And Jesus didn't give reassurances. Jesus didn't give answer. What did Jesus do? Jesus tells the messengers, Go and tell him what you see and hear and what I'm doing. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead rose to life. Tell him that. Let the experience, let my life-giving deeds speak for itself. And then Jesus, like any good teachers, turned to the people and say, Okay, John the Baptist was looking for, actually, a Messiah who preached a fiery repentance. And Jesus wasn't that. And so John had second thoughts. And so Jesus used that example, used the opportunity to tell the people, Hey, what are you looking for? Why did you go look out for John? Were you looking for a person in fine clothing and soft palaces? Because that's not here. What are you looking for? In fact, what are you looking for? John the Baptist is the greatest of all, of everyone born of humankind. And yet, what I've offered to you is more than that. The kingdom that I bring, the reign that I give, the joy that I give, will be greater than all this. So the question for each of us, this season of waiting and hoping and longing. What are you hoping for? What are you waiting for? For kids, toys for Christmas. For students, no more classes, no more exams. For many of us workers, extra vacation hour, bonus time. For those of us who like sports, our favorite team in the playoff, in the Rose Bowl. Those of us who like movies, can't wait to see Star Wars Rogue One. What are you looking for? And John's question, are you the one who is to come? Because a lot of time when you and I are looking for something, we just focus on that thing. You know, like those kids who receives a present from someone, and he or she is so excited about the present, the adult has to say, honey, go to your aunt and thank her. We're very focused on the gift. We forget the giver. And we do this to God. God, I need a miracle for someone in my family. I need a miracle for an A, even though I didn't really study. Or I need a miracle to let go of this person, to change that person, even though I don't want to change myself. But we focus on what? We focus on what we want. And we forget the one to whom can give us that and much, much more. It's kind of like the difference between expectation and hope. Expectation is I do certain things. If certain conditions line up, great, I expect them. I expect to work hard. I expect to be paid. I expect to pray. I expect God to come to me. But hope is not based on that. In fact, expectation, when those conditions don't measure up, what happens? Discouragement, disappointment, even disillusionment. But hope is a trust on the one who can bring about what we're looking for, what we long for, and more. So the difference is trust. And this difference is actually the same difference between happiness and joy. Happiness, oftentimes for many of us, is based on circumstance, right? If I get the person's phone number, if I have the person's love, if I have the person's attentions, if I have the person's on my speed dial, or they're on my speed dial. But joy is beyond external circumstance. Because happiness, oftentimes, is getting what we want. But joy is something that comes deep within. And for Pope Francis, in this wonderful reading for Advent to Christmas, it came out 3 years ago, Apostolic Exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel. For Pope Francis and many of us, joy comes from knowing, from the confidence that we are loved, that we are accepted, that we are forgiven, that we are free, and that we are trusted. Joy comes from this confidence in knowing, despite everything in life, despite our focus on the things that we want from God and not God, despite our lack of faith, despite our lack of forgiveness, despite our selfishness, that God knows, accepts, loves, and frees you and I. And even more, the confidence that this person next to me, this person living near me, this person who is going through a rough time, this person who is being a pain in our butt, that person is loved and forgiven and free. But as a culture, we settle on happiness. And we run after the happiness, the things that we think will bring us happiness. We chase them. And unfortunately, oftentimes, it's status, popularity, material things, or things that we think will fill our empty, lonely hearts. And do they? Do they? And we chase the happiness that we want so much that we're not willing to be surprised by joy. Surprised by God's presence in so many small places in our lives. Because we're too busy chasing happiness. Yesterday, I celebrated baptism, but inside Mass. Some of you were there, and this is like over 200 people. This couple is well-loved. In fact, this couple, in their mid-30s, have been waiting for a child for 8 years. A very good couple. A couple who are successful in life. A couple who would consider, everybody look at them, they're happy. And then he started to let go of his work a little more. And they started to serve in young adult ministry and serve with me. And then their own goodness expanded. And then yesterday, 90% of those people are the people who went through the retreat in the ministry, who were deeply touched by God and deeply touched by this couple, and who are deeply touched that after all these years of waiting, and it took a while, and she even went through a major surgery, or actually a simple surgery for her pregnancy, and it turned out that she almost died. So everyone there knew that this baby, this joy, did not come easy. And it's not easy to have a baby. And this couple were asked, before they were happy, now they're more filled with joy. Because happiness oftentimes is only a certain satisfaction because we get what we want. But joy comes with the peace beneath the conflict. Joy comes with the hope beyond the disappointment. Joy comes with the trust, even in unforgiveness. So happiness is a forerunner for joy. So do we want things in our lives that bring us happiness? Or are we willing to trust in the one who can give us so much more? A joy so palpable like this couple, a joy that you and I know, even though fleeting in our life. This is the joy that Pope Francis asks us to be renewed as a church. A joy that in the opening of this book of the apostolic exhortation, he calls the joy of the gospel fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. With Jesus, joy is constantly born anew. I invite Christians everywhere at this moment to a renewed personal encounter with Christ, or at least an openness to encounter Jesus every day. So, what are concrete ways for us to be open to this joy the rest of this Advent into Christmas season? 1, be real about what you and I are looking for, or hoping for, things that will bring us happiness. Are you willing, you and I willing to give this to God and tell God what we think God should give us, that we think will bring us happiness, but let go? And focus not on the things that we want, but ask God, Lord, help me to trust you. And when I don't trust you because in the past you let me down, have a heart-to-heart with God. In fact, And if you're angry at God, let God have it. But then, listen afterwards. God's big enough to take our disappointment. So one, to let God know what we're hoping for and let it go. And focus on God. Two, be with someone who's suffering. God hides in his sisters and brothers. But be with them, invite God to be with you. And it's not easy to be with people who are dying, people who are paying a butt, people who are poor or homeless, who are so different from us, because it triggers all these things in us. It brings about illusions we have of control and of what happiness means. Talk to God about that. Being with these people stirs up things in us in which God will surprise us in time with joy. And the last, so simple. After receiving communion, welcome God. Lord, I know you already in my heart, in my life. Help me to welcome you. Surprise me with your presence, your mercy, your goodness. Don't worry if nothing happens. Don't worry if you don't feel, oh my gosh, I'm going to run out for joy. Trust in the slow work of God. Just as the bread and wine is joined and melted, becomes the same atoms that fuels your body. The presence of the one who brings joy hides and slowly grows. So in trusting God with what we hope and looking for this Advent, in being with someone who's in need, who's outcast, who's hurting, and in the Eucharist, let God come closer into those aspects of our lives which longs for God. In these three ways, we respond to Pope Francis and to God's call to be people who are willing to surprise by joy, who is willing to receive a happiness that is beyond success and circumstance.